Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to this update on the situation at Alunorte. We will start with a presentation by CEO Svein Richard Brandtzæg and Head of Corporate Environment, Giulana Larice. This will be followed by a Q&A session, also joined by Eivind Kallevik from Brazil. We have published the presentation material on hydro.com, and I suggest you have this material in front of you during the presentation. And with that, I leave the word to you, Svein Richard.
Thank you very much, Stian, and I will direct your attention to the presentation that is now on hydro.com, and start with the first slide showing that it was extreme weather condition the 16th and 17th of February. That was the start of this situation with 200 millimeters precipitation within 12 hours. Then in the following weeks, it was 900 millimeters, and it continues. So this situation was created, very difficult operational situation, flooding in the Bakkenrenna. And if you go over to the timeline for events, you can see that it started with the fact that the whole area was flooded. It was channel, an old channel, Canal Velho, that was used to discharge rainwater from the area in order to make sure that the water treatment plant that was treating the flow from the red mud deposits, which is the critical part there, was done in a proper way. We got external inspections the 17th and 18th. Of February, where they didn't find any indications of spillover from the bauxite residue deposits. And this is quite important because that is the critical part, the red deposits, which is the bauxite residue storage has been maintained, meaning that there are no indications. Also today, after investigating and checking further, there are no indications even today that there has been a spillover from the bauxite residue deposits. It was quite a lot of attention around the water pipe that was discovered. That water pipe, together with four other water pipes, was installed during establishment of a sump in the period after a heavy rainfall in 2009 to establish an improved water handling system. And that pipe, together with the four others, was then blocked with concrete because it was only used during the construction of the sump. But one of the pipes were leaking, and it was quite a lot of attention around the fact that there was water coming out of this pipe. And again, this is not coming, it's not water from the bauxite residues, it was water from the surface. So that is one important point. We got then reports from Institute Evandro Chagas that did measurements about pollution. They reported higher contents of different elements, for example, lead and phosphorus, nitrite, also elements that we don't have in our production. But still, the content was below the levels of the requirements with regard to drinking water, except for the nitrate and phosphorus. It was also higher measurement on aluminium, and we need to find out where this is coming from. But again, it was quite intensive media coverage after this, and of course we also understood that this was a very difficult situation for the local society, so we started to distribute water. We have engaged four doctors to help the local people. Again, they are in addition to medical advice, also then distributing medicine to the local people because the drinking water has been polluted. And again, there are many other sources of pollution here. And again, just to remind you that there has been no leakage or spillover from the bauxite residue deposit. We have established a task force to take cumulative view on the Bakkenrenna situation. We have taken down the production to 50% of Alunorte, according to the orders from SEMAS. That was also the ruling from the court, based on also notification from IBAMA. So the plant is now running at 50%, which also have an implication on the bauxite production in Paragominas. We have issued force majeure the 2nd of March, and I went to Brazil the 1st, and landed in São Paulo the 2nd, and came to Barcarena the 3rd, and visited the local societies, had a plant tour to see all the areas that was critical during this period, during the heavy rainfall, met the authorities, and also with the local meetings with local authorities. Due to the very challenging situation, I then decided to appoint Eivind Kallevik, the CFO that you know quite well, as interim head of Bauxite Alumina. And the previous head is now leading a project to review and consider strengthening of the water treatment area at Alunorte, not only long term but also short term. We have engaged environmental consultancy, SGV Services, to do an independent review of Alunorte's environmental, possible environmental impact. And we have had meetings with the Ministerio Público in Belém, also with SEMAS, and these meetings have been quite constructive. If you then move on to the next slide and take an overview of the Barcarena site, you will see the Alunorte refinery. This is the world's largest refinery. We produced about 6.4 million tons last year, based on bauxite from Paragominas, but also from MRN. The bauxite is refined to and converted to alumina, which is then shipped to our own smelters, but also to external customers. And the residue is stored in deposit areas, DRS1 and DRS2. This is a dry stacking of bauxite residue, which is the state of the art, but we have taken this one step further with the new bauxite deposit, DRS2, where we have the newest technology, press filter technology, and also then even drier storage systems, dry stacking system in DRS2. There has been a dispute between with regard to licensing of the DRS2. We have the license to install and also license to commission the DRS2. But that has now been stopped temporarily, and we are now discussing that also with authorities to make sure that we can continue to use DRS2, of course, in addition to get back to 100% production. So again, you see the societies are quite close. These are small villages outside the Barcarena city, and I have visited this site, the Bon Futuro, and also talked to representatives for the people that have a very difficult situation because there are flooding of sewage, there are landfills, there are drinking water, and it's quite a difficult situation for these people. So I think I will leave the word then to Gideon that will go through more details about the operational issues and the situation if I will not.
Okay, so before I go into more details, I'd like to start by possibly stating the obvious, and that is to remind you that Alunorte is the world's largest alumina refinery, and as such, it is supported by a vast and complex water and wastewater system. Therefore, a complete statement on the integrity of the entire water and wastewater system cannot be given until all the relevant task forces have completed their work. As a result, the facts, the overview I present today, are the facts that we know to date, but these may be updated as the relevant task forces complete their work. So, going back to the map the CEO just discussed, what we see on the right-hand side are our bauxite residue storage areas, which we refer to as DRS1 and DRS2. Any bauxite residue generated by the alumina refinery process is stored in DRS1 or DRS2. This bauxite residue is characterized by high pH levels, and the reason for this is that it comes in contact with caustic soda that is used in the alumina refinery process. Any water running off the DRS1 and DRS2 is hence collected in the water basins that you see surrounding the perimeter of DRS1 and DRS2. From these water basins, the water is channeled. If you can move on to the next slide. Yes. So as you can see, from DRS1 and DRS2, the water in the water basin is channeled to the wastewater treatment plant. At the wastewater treatment plant, the water from DRS1 and DRS2 is treated before being discharged to the river. The discharge to the river is regulated by permits. What you also see from this schematic is that the wastewater treatment plant deals with a second key stream coming from the refinery area. This water stream is characterized by less, not as high pH levels as what you would see coming from the DRS1 and DRS2 storage area. Again, the wastewater treatment plant treats this second stream of water coming from the refinery area before discharging it to the river along with the treated water from DRS1 and DRS2. So the next slide. Okay, so this slide here shows the known points of interest to date. So what we have is we've identified a section with cracks, and this refers to the pipeline that leads water from the water basin surrounding DRS1 to the wastewater treatment plant. So far, we have no indication that any leaks from these cracks would have come in contact with the external environment. The remainder of the pipeline leading from DRS1 to the wastewater treatment plant is currently under review by the internal task force, which is due to conclude sometime in the beginning of April. The second known point of interest to date is with regards to the flooded area in the northeast corner of the refinery premises, where we also discovered the presence of 5 disused pipes, where the seal on one of the pipes had failed, leading to a small leak of water from the flooded area to the external environment. And lastly, the last known point of interest is with regards to the discharge of water through the Canal Viejo to the river. In the next slide, I'll go in a bit more detail surrounding the flooded area and the disused pipes. So what happened is that as a result of the extreme rain event, the northeastern corner of the refinery referred to as Sump 45 flooded. The flooding was further aggravated by the fact that the local pumps failed as a result of the power outage caused by the same severe rain event. When we investigated the flooded area, we discovered a disused pipe in the northeastern corner, which had allowed some water to leak out to the external environment as a result of the failed seal. As the CEO pointed out, this pipe that we discovered and the subsequent pipes that we discovered are not connected to Alunorte's water and wastewater treatment system, but rather were built during the construction of that area to promote drainage. After we discovered the disused pipe, we put in place mitigating actions that subsequently led to it being sealed through soldering. Whilst performing this work, we discovered an additional 4 pipes in the area, and to date we have no indication of leaks from those 4 pipes, which were then further sealed with soldering from Alunorte. Alunorte then commissioned a third-party environmental consultant, Envirotech, to sample the area that is roughly represented by the green box. The consultant took soil samples along the leak path and then sediment and water samples within the river that's marked on the map. pH measurements were taken of all of these samples, and the report concludes that from a pH perspective, there is no sign of a significant or lasting environmental impact within the area investigated. Now, in the last and final slide, I will go into a bit more detail on the use of Canal Viejo to discharge water. So what you see in blue are the water streams that occur under normal operating conditions. So normally under normal operating conditions, the water from the refinery area is channeled along the industrial effluent channel to the wastewater treatment plant. At the wastewater treatment plant, the water is treated, and then it's released to the river along the outer canal, which is labeled as treated wastewater. From there, it's discharged into the river, for which we have permits in place. Before being discharged to the river, the treated wastewater can mix with a second stream coming from Albras, which is our primary smelter, coming from their coke and pitch storage area. These two streams mix before being discharged to the river. Now, as a result of the extreme rain event, it was decided that part of the water coming from the refinery would be discharged through the Canal Vieux as opposed to the industrial effluent channel. This was done in order to relieve pressure on the wastewater treatment plant. It's important to note that Alunorte had, in the past, requested a permit from the authorities to use the Canal Vieux for exactly this kind of event. However, when we used the Canal Vieux in February to discharge this additional water, we had not yet received a formal rejection or approval of our permit request. Upon using the Canal Vieux to discharge the water, we immediately informed the authorities. Subsequently, preliminary findings from the internal task force that we put in place to review the system have come up with some additional findings. They have found two additional contributions to the Canal Vieux stream. The first additional contribution comes from the north of the Canal Vieux and is due to an overflowing of the wastewater holding basins closest to the industrial effluent channel, whilst the second additional stream to Canal Vieux comes from the south from an overflowing of the surface waters from the coal and bauxite storage area. So those are two additional streams for Canal Vieux discharge. It's maybe useful to note that as part of our permit to discharge water to the river, we need to perform basic pH monitoring. Basic pH monitoring over the relevant period indicates that with the exception of some short-term spikes, the pH of our discharge to the river is within its limits. And that's what I have to say.
Okay. So if we just take a look at the summary of incidents, that is total overview as we have now. And, of course, we are now working further with, we have the independent review and also the task force. So that is something we are going to follow up, also going further. But as mentioned, what is the most important thing here is that the all indications so far, which was also, in fact, discussed in Brasilia with Ivana the day before yesterday, concluded, or at least stated in this meeting from Ivana, that there has been no spillage from the bauxite residues during this situation. So if you then move over to the next one, and then look at the page where we have what it was initiated of measures to resolve the Alunorte situation. First of all, Emil Kallevik is in place. He's joining us on telephone here from Brazil, heading the bauxite and alumina business area now. We have established a project to assess further strengthening of the robustness of the water treatment system at Alunorte. And then we have the internal expert task force to lead a comprehensive review of the situation. Now, of course, then also look at what can be done to improve and make the plant also medium, longer term, more robust with regard to extreme weather conditions. And then we have commissioned the SGV services to do an independent review. And then come with a report to us. First phase will be reported 9th of April, and the independent review report will be finalized in May. We have also launched a clean water initiative and committed to work together with the community for water supply to our neighbors in Alunorte. If you go further to the next one and just see the timeline here, what we are doing on health, water, and environmental area in Barcarena, water distribution started, and we also use third-party observer to make sure that we do this in a compliant way. We have now negotiation and the dialogues with the communities. We have started the dialogue with the NGOs. We have established four doctors that are helping the local society, also with nurses in collaboration with the local municipality. We have established in cooperation with the Red Cross, both short-term and long-term, to mapping of the health of people there, and also then continue to distribute water according to the United Nations specification. And again, state and local engagement initiative, and then the external expert in Barcarena is in place. So these are the headlines. So if you go to the last page for us now, it is very important to get all the facts on the table, to also get a full overview of the what has been done and what has happened during this crisis. And our main concern is, of course, related to health and safety and environment for the community and employees. Our employees are doing a tremendous job now to handle the situation. And we will then present results from the external and internal review in April 9. And then finally, the external review will be presented in May. I think that is the main messages for me today, and I think we are ready for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question on the phones at this time, please press the digit 1 on your telephone. Sorry, a beep button. Please press the star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that your mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star 2. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to see. We can take our first question from Jason Fairclough from Bank of America. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, team. First, it does seem like you're being quite proactive and open in your approach to this situation. You're trying to do the right thing, so just it is to be commended. Well done on that. Second, you know, we are financial analysts. We're going to care about the financial impact. Realize it's early days, but our clients are asking us to take a view on the financial impact. Bauxite and alumina, we think, is about 25% of EBITDA this year. We've got, 50% shutdown. Can you help us frame how to think about the potential financial impact? And I guess there's a couple angles I have here. I mean, first, to what extent is your cost base fixed versus variable at these assets, right? And then beyond that, you've given a time frame here out to May where you're going to be presenting your findings. So it sounds like we're going to be looking at 3 to 4 months of 50% reduction in production at least. Is that a fair way to characterize it?
Thank you, Jason. Just before I leave the word to Stian here, the cost base in Alunorte is about 80% fixed cost. Sorry, 80% variable. 80% variable cost in Alunorte. And with regard to timing, it is too early to say anything about that. But Stian, you can continue.
Yeah. As Van Nieper says, so obviously timing is important in terms of defining the financial implication, but obviously losing out on half the volumes of Alunorte and then obviously losing out on the margin that would in normal situations give us is the main effect here. You will have an indication of the cost level that we had in Q4 and obviously also the PAX that we are seeing today, which gives an indication of the margin loss as such. And as you also point to, if you look at Alunorte, obviously around 80% is variable cost, and thereby you also have some fixed cost that you're not able to get out, in at least in the short term. For Paragominas, the situation is the opposite, where you have a larger fixed cost base, and obviously you will need to take down Paragominas as well, adding to the cost side per ton produced. I can maybe also add that obviously you will need to source more material in the open market with that potential effect on that as well in terms of the additional costs related to this. It's more difficult to say, but at least that gives you an indication.
Yep. Look, and I guess, you know, one other follow-up, and I think I know what the answer is going to be, but, to the extent that you are spending lots of time, you're spending lots of effort, how material should we think about the extraordinary costs that would be associated with this incident, you know, between the consultants and the scientists and the lawyers and the you name it?
Yeah, I think you're right. We are also using some external resources to support us during this critical situation. I'm sorry that it's a bit early to conclude on this, and we'll get back to this as soon as possible.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your forthrightness. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Daniel Major from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line's open.
Hi there. A couple of questions. Can you give us an update on how long you could operate the refinery for at 50% or 100% capacity if you are unable to secure the license to get start using DRS2? Secondly, is there any CapEx implications in terms of the sort of remedial work and anything to do with the spill, and does that have any impact on the group CapEx or B&A CapEx guidance for this year? And a third question, how much alumina inventory do you have? And therefore, in terms of your own smelters, when will you have to start coming into the market to buy third-party material in order to maintain capacity?
Okay, thank you, Daniel. With regard to the operation of the 50%, we can operate Alunorte at 50% going forward. That is something I can do for a long period, but of course we would like to bring the capacity up to 100% as soon as possible. With regard to CapEx, it is too early to say, because the task force is looking at what we can do now to increase the robustness. If we, for example, need to do some capacity increases for the water treatment area, which is one area we are looking into, that is something we have to come back to, Daniel. With regard to the smelters and alumina, maybe Stian, you can comment on that, because we have alumina, we have for the short term quite well sourced, but can comment some more on that, Stian.
Yeah, so Daniel, based on the alumina in the silos and what we've been able to purchase in the market, we're in a comfortable position at least a month going forward, maybe even into May. But obviously, we will need to buy more cargoes as well to make sure that we have sufficient alumina beyond that time period. And obviously, that is ongoing.
Okay, thanks. Can I just follow up on the first question? So you can operate the refinery sort of indefinitely or for a long period of time at 50% without getting the new license. How about assuming you bring the production back on in May, June? How long could you operate at full capacity before DRS1 was full and you'd have to then, you know, look at other alternatives or close capacity?
Yeah, the original plan was obviously to change from DRS1 into DRS2 during this year and into early next year. To give you sort of an exact indication of how long we could potentially run only at DRS1, either at 50% or 100%, is somewhat difficult, but the original target was to switch over during this year. Obviously, the length will be prolonged by only running 50%, but I'm struggling to give you a very fixed answer to it, Danny.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Menno Sanderse from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. A couple of from me as well. Can we first start talk about what volumes we are talking about in terms of leakage? Any indication of how much caustic soda was leaked, just to get a better sense of the magnitude of all of this, besides the fact that it actually happened. Secondly, forgive me for being blunt, but if you don't get DRS2, you basically have to shut the refinery down. You need DRS2 to operate the refinery either at 50 or at 100% beyond, say, the mid of next year. is that a true or not true statement? And then finally, two small ones. Paragominas' second tailings dam was closed down as well. Could it operate at 11 million tons capacity on one tailings dam, assuming you could go back to 11 million tons? Obviously, it depends on the refinery. And finally, how often does 200 millimeters per day happen? Because the slide shows you only days up till February or beginning of February. But how big was this rain event in a historic context so we can make our own judgment on what may have to be done to this to the asset going forward to make sure that that the company can deal with it in the next comes?
Thank you, Menno. When it got to the leakage of caustic soda, it was, again, we have had no leakages from the red mud deposits as of today, as all the information and indications, and even what IBAMA has also communicated in Brasilia, is there Alunorte did not have any leakage from the red mud deposits. But there was an overrun during power failure in during the critical hours, during thunderstorm, and it was lightning hitting a substation, so we lost current for a while, and that was one of the reasons why the canal value was used, because this leakage or this overrun contained bauxite, it was water and caustic soda that was collected, but it has to be neutralized before it was discharged. And that was the situation where they, the local management decided to use canal value. It is too early to say about to give you any indications, but with regard to the limitations we have on caustic soda discharge to the big river is that we have only had small peaks where we have been above. The limit was a pH of 9, and as you probably know, the pH is a factor of the negative logarithm of the concentration of hydrogen ions in the dissolution, and we have been on average level below the requirement, and the requirement is based on average. But we have measured on extra measurements where we see there's been some spikes, but there is no sign up to now, and now there's been quite a lot of work that has been taking place. No signs that there has been environmental damages of this. You probably know that the classification of caustic soda is that it is not classified as poisonous, but it's corrosive. We have then been focusing on neutralizing the caustic soda. With regard to DRS2, the situation there is that we have got the license from SEMAS to install and commission DRS2. And that is a license that will last until the end of the year, according to plan, and then we should get normal operational license. And it has been challenged by IBAMA in Brasilia if SEMAS had the right to do that. So that is an issue between SEMAS and IBAMA. But we have got the license to do it. So we are also now discussing that with the authorities so we can get the DRS2 in place, because that is the most, state-of-the-art, is the best technology for handling bauxite waste, bauxite residue. With regard to Paragominas, you probably know that we have invested in a new tailing deposit. And in fact, we are now in operation. So the fact that we cannot use the valley anymore is absolutely also the plan we had in place. So that is not hampering any the volumes from the production of Paragominas.
And then finally, just the magnitude, can you give us a bit more historic context of what type of event it is? I mean, 1 in 1,000 years, just to understand or get a better understanding of how much the company may have to change the assets to deal with these events in the future.
Good, that is the next part of your question. So I will try to answer that, because before we acquired these assets in 2009, Alunorte had extreme rainfall, which resulted in a leakage in the river that goes past the local society. That has not happened this time. after this event, they change the capacity of water handling from what they call the 100-year precipitation to the 1,000-year precipitation. The DRS2 has a capacity to handle the 10,000-year rainfall. So what that means can be discussed, because now there is a climate change, but at least it seems that the 100-year precipitation is coming more frequently than every 100 years, and it may be even that the 1,000-year precipitation is coming more frequently. So what we are looking into now is that to make sure that this is never going to be happen again, we are looking into investment in improving the water treatment capacity. So that means we may install a water treatment plant which can handle the extreme situation as we had, if that should happen again. Then it could find a conclusion on this has not been taken, but that is the one direction we are looking into now.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Daniel Lurch from Exane. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for the call and for taking my question. Just two quick ones. Can you speak maybe a bit about your discussions with authorities you had so far? Did you get any indication what would make authorities comfortable to return Alunorte to 100% capacity? And maybe on the internal and external review which you have commissioned, and the connection of these reviews to the discussion with authorities, are environmental authorities in agreement that these two reviews are sufficient to assess the situation? I mean, assuming that there are no additional negative conclusions, is this sufficient for them to make an informed decision, or do you expect that there will be additional reviews by the Brazilian government, for example, into the situation? Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. We have a constructive dialogue with the authorities. We established the internal review to use our own best resources to make sure that we have a full overview, that we have all the cards on the table, and that we can make the right decisions about what is going to be done with Alunorte going forward. But we also would like to take the independent external review to make sure that there is no bias about what has happened here, and that the external review can do the measurements with the required chemical analysis and the required evaluations that an external professional independent party can do. The dialogue with authorities is, as I said, constructive. It may be that there are questions coming up that they would like to do also their own reviews. That would be no surprise. But I think we are on the right track. We are doing the right thing. I think the authorities see that we take this situation very seriously. But I think one of the requirements for Hydro going forward is that we should do more to support the local authorities, or not the local authorities, but the local communities. We are helping the local communities, which is, we are talking about very poor people that are living close by. They are lacking infrastructure on sewage and water, and maybe that this is an area where we have to give more support. That should be no surprise going forward, because this is also something that I think the local authorities would be happy if we can help with.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. We can take our next question from Johannes Grunelius from Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Most of my questions have been answered, but perhaps a bit of a follow-up. I mean, in your discussions with authorities, do you get any sense that fines can be involved in here, or that authorities are changing the tax regime for you, for instance, putting in a royalty or increasing the corporate tax or whatever? Can you elaborate a bit on that, please?
Yeah. Again, the dialogue, Johannes, with regard to the authorities are very constructive. there has been issued fines already. One is related to the usage of the old channel, Canal Velho. But it's, I think we still need to get some more time to get the full overview of what is going to happen going forward. So I'm not sure if that discussion is finished yet with the, or that with regard to the fines, if that is fully developed from the authorities, what they are going to do there. With regard to the tax regime, it has been mentioned by a local newspaper that Hydro has a very attractive tax regime. The governor has been attacked that he has been too supportive to Hydro. But this is an agreement that we have gone into, and I have had no, there are no indications that that is something that they will restart. With regard to royalties, that is also something that is for the whole industry, and we haven't got any comments to that during these discussions and the dialogue that we have had with the authorities so far. I would say that there are also strong indication that the authorities are also very concerned about Hydro running at 50%, because it has a big implication on the jobs, local jobs. We have, there are about 3,000 jobs at Alunorte. If you also include the contractors, it has also further implications in the local society here. So I think there are quite strong forces now that we should get back in production as soon as possible, but the authorities have to see that we also are, again, taking then the giving the support of local society, that we are implementing the actions that are necessary to make sure that in a way we are able to handle the situation going forward if also there should be a further heavy rainfall. So this is ongoing. I would say that also the support we have from unions are extremely strong. We have not experienced that before in Brazil. So again, there are many different stakeholders now that are quite active. But again, it is difficult to promise anything. It may take time. This is we are doing this the Hydro way. Get everything on the table, be open and transparent, and make sure that we do this in a sustainable way within all the rules of compliance. And again, thinking not only for short-term solutions, but also the long-term for our activities in Alunorte.
Okay, thank you.
So I've got it, it's Ivan from Brazil, just a small clarification. When it comes to the use of Canal Velho, what we have received is what we call an infraction notice, which could indicate that there is a fine coming or a warning. We have not received anything, any fine as of today related to the use of Canal Velho.
Thank you. We can take a follow-up question from Menno Sanderse from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks again. Two small ones. First on asset intensive integrity. Can you run at 50% while maintaining asset integrity, or is running? Does running at 50% mean you'll have higher maintenance capex / operating cost going forward? And secondly, just around the three assets in Brazil, can you just remind us, could Paragominas sell into the external market? Yes or no, or can it only sell to Alunorte? And can Albras, in theory, use other alumina, or is that difficult given its location? And thirdly, how many people in total are employed by the three assets, both contractors and own employees? I get to 10,000 roughly if I look at the annual report, but that may be wrong.
Yes, thank you, Menno. Good questions. With regard to asset integrity, I would say that whether we produce 100% or 50%, it doesn't change in a way the integrity of the assets as such. The exposure area is, I would say, is proportional to the area of the bauxite residue. So that doesn't change. Of course, with the fact that we have to reduce the production at Paragominas means that there are more water going through the pipeline than previously, which also to be handled. So in effect, from an environmental point of view, the authority should be very interested also from that point of view to make sure that Hydro gets back to 100% production, because then it's less water to treat also from the Paragominas mine. With regard to Paragominas bauxite, that is transported to the pipeline only to Alunorte, so we cannot sell that into the market. But that means that we can take less bauxite from MRN, as you know. So that may have an implication there. When you go to Albas, of course, Albas get alumina just over the fence from Alunorte. And I think that it could be swapping of a bauxite here, other solutions. That could be more interesting than to make artificial supplies of bauxite from other sources, alumina from other sources to Albas. As I said, there are around 3,000 jobs in Alunorte. On top of that, there are, including, direct, if you take all the direct employees in related to bauxite, alumina, and also Albas, 5,000 direct, 7,000 contractors, 2070 approximately. There are quite a lot of people involved here. So,
5,000 direct and 7,000 contractors, is that right?
In 2070.
Okay.
That was, so you have, in a way, the full 2017 number, which is the most relevant there. So, again, more we are reducing the usage or the contractors are now out as far as we can to reduce the cost. And of course, now we are also looking at reducing the number of workers if this takes time. And with 80% variable cost, we should also be able then to reduce some of the fixed costs going forward if this takes time now.
Of course.
Yeah. The main message, I think.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Manu.
Thank you. We can take our next question from Carl Hogton from DNB Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Laura McTavish here from DNB. Regarding spills into the canal and not covered by permit, we assume this decision to have been taken at a local level. But do you foresee that there will be any changes in how such decisions are approved moving forward?
Sorry, I didn't hear. It was difficult to hear you. Could you please speak closer to the microphone?
Yes. So regarding the spills into the canal that were not covered by permit, we assume this decision has been taken at a local level. But do you foresee that there will be any changes in how these decisions are approved moving forward?
We're talking about the spills not covered by licenses and how that could affect regulations for that going forward. Is that correct?
Just the decision to do this. Will there be any changes in how such decisions are approved?
I think the question she's asking is the decision sequence that led to the use of Canal Viejo was done internally.
Yeah.
Are we looking to review the way the decision is made going forward?
Yes. Okay, that's a good question. With regard to the situation here, due to the extreme weather, it was treatment of water from the bauxite residues that was very important, and then there was also treatment of water, of rainwater. And normally, this should go through the water treatment system, all of it. But as the water treatment system was overloaded for a period of time, they choose to use Canal Viejo for rainwater. So this is, water that is, I would say normal rainwater that is mixed with some of the local soil, and it could be some dirt on within the plant. But that was done to make sure that we did not have any, or to avoid environmental impact during this situation. So I think in this critical situation, it was a decision taken by the local management that I think still we are evaluating it, but it seems that in order to avoid environment damages, it seems that this was the right decision, although we didn't have the license to use Canal Viejo. But this is something we are going to conclude about later when we have the full report from the review. And that is going to be finished the 9th of April, and then we will be back again.
Great, thank you.
Then we have time for one final question before we have to end it here from our side.
As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I'll hand the call back to you for any closing or additional remarks.
Okay, thank you. Yes, there seems to be no further questions. We can end this call. Thank you for joining us today. And if you have any follow-ups, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude today's call. You may now disconnect.